The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show.
You gotta say
you're Ryan.
I don't say it first.
I'm Will Meadows.
I'm Sarah Meadows.
I'm Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And I'm Ryan.
And we're in the house.
Worst start ever.
But we have a great episode ahead, right?
What yes. house are we in?
I don't even know.
We're in the Tantrum House.
Tantrum
and today
House.
We are talking about 7 games coming to Kickstarter the week of March 5th, 2018. And a couple that we'll throw in
yeah.
addition to that.
You want to know about those. Yeah. So obviously we need to start off by talking about Tantrum Con.
What? That seems like so long ago.
In the future, like yesterday. So TantrumCon was
no,
Saturday.
At least 2 days ago.
Yeah, two whole days ago in our time. A week back for you guys. So by the time you hear this, you'll actually be able to see all the photos that we're slowly uploading one day at a time.
Is that because of your internet speed?
All the reasons. All the reasons. We had a game night tonight at Due South. Which
nope.
Not Due South.
Red Barn.
Yeah.
Red
used
Barn.
To go to the Due Souths.
They're yep. dead to us now.
That's right. And a lot of other people.
Now, Red Barn's really cool. Their atmosphere is great. The lighting's great. People are great there.
Yeah, the people are super great.
I wish there's a little more room.
Yeah,
but
it's too popular. There's too many people coming to our games.
It's cool. I really enjoy it. The food's good. The drinks are good.
Yeah, so. I was impressed. We had fans who came out tonight who went to Due South first.
Oops,
need to update that Google Calendar. My bad. And then drove over to I don't even know how far away that is. 15 minutes probably mm-hmm. to Red Barn to join us. So
well, he said he went to the new Due South location. Then
Downtown?
He went to the
or?
Old
yeah.
Due
what?
South location,
oh,
and
man.
Then he came to Red Barn.
Poor guy.
Jeremy, you are the coolest dude. That came to game night.
You were dedicated.
You got a hashtag right there, I think. So that was awesome. But let's recap a little more. What was your favorite part of Tantrum Con there, Sarah? I know what it was.
I know what. Oh. I was so glad I got to go on the board game barbecue tour.
Lucky.
Absolutely amazing. I have to say, if anybody's in Greenville visiting, you need to go on the Greenville History Tours. John Nolan puts on several tours.
A couple different kinds.
Yeah, there's a couple history tours, and then he also does some food tours. And
culinary.
It was absolutely great. I loved every bit of it. So.
Yeah, more food than a single human can
oh,
eat.
Oh, wow, yeah. The price covers more than the food. And then, yeah, he does a... little background history. There's a screen in the van, which is super comfy and plush and very comfortable to ride in. And talks the whole way there. We go in and sample the food. We get backstage passes.
Yeah, I got to see the grill and all
the
cool
smokers
stuff
was- and how
I saw
they
some
up.
Of those photos. That looked really cool.
Yes, it was great. And then we, on top of the normal tour, we played some board games.
My favorite thing is the fact that we... had figured out what games we wanted to have people play on the thing, but we didn't consider at all the fact that by the time they got to the third location and had filled their third cow stomach, that we were then introducing them to Happy Salmon.
Happy Salmon, their third place.
We played, right. No, but everybody was crazy excited to play it. And then afterwards, they're like, we burned so much energy, we can eat more food now.
It worked out, but I can't imagine that. That would be... so full.
Well, the last location, the food just went straight to-go
boxes.
And then we all kind of sampled some bites, and that was about all we could take.
That was cool.
I saw some cool pictures, behind-the-scenes stuff. And
yes.
That sounds pretty
yeah,
cool.
It was great.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked real fun. My favorite thing was happening at the same time as her thing, because a bunch of people went on the tour, and then while they were gone, we actually did a Tantrum Trivia live game show.
Oh, that was fun.
It was super cool. We had J-Do, which is a local MC in town. It's a hilarious guy who's just on the spot. Everything he says cracks you up. He
yeah,
did.
You may have seen him because he does the emceeing for Clemson basketball games.
And the Greenville
Drive.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're local, you probably know who he is. He was willing to hook us up, and he came out and did a fantastic job. He was throwing t-shirts, making jokes. He even covered like our terrible
technical difficulties.
Yeah, the computer, of course, worked every time it tests and then failed entirely when we got to the show. But yeah. It was great. It was super great. The lady from the library came in and she was like, shh, like motioning it from the back, like, we need to be quieter. And then he was like, making fun of her.
Oh, and he was like, this is as quiet as J-Doo goes. You want to turn the microphone down.
They pay me to be crazy and noisy, so I don't know. It was super fun. And our winner got an amazing prize package from our sponsors, which is super cool.
So a few sponsors were Top Shelf Gamer. They gave a certificate for a bundle of tokens, deluxe tokens.
Deluxe ones, yeah.
And another one was the Game Toppers LLC. They had a gift certificate that they got, and then CGE gave a game Zolkin. So that was a pretty sweet grand prize.
It was.
And so the other sponsors that helped make the game, made the Tantrum Con possible were Lucky Duck Games, Bellwether Games, The Red Barn, Boardwalk,
Desier
Games. Man, they were just all over. We really appreciate all you guys and supporting us and making the Tantrum Con a success.
Yeah, and the winner had to actually make it through three rounds of different games to be crowned champion.
Well, I don't know if the second round really counted.
Ryan and I dominated.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. So I really like Cahoots at the beginning. The first round was really cool. And the third round was pretty cool. Yeah. Sort of pretty cool.
What's about that one? I left the second round with winner's guilt. Like, I was like, should I have just thrown it?
You were going to throw it. Like, dude, you know that he actually started on the other side?
We were trying.
No, he actually started on the last question.
So did you explain that it was Tantrum Shinary?
Yeah.
We split the teams up. We had Ryan and Katie on one team with two of the highest scoring Cahoots players. And then we had Kevin and Melissa on the other team with the other two highest scoring people.
And we each took a turn doing Pictionary, and we had to do things like, here's the word, like boardwalk, and people had to guess
Dice Tower.
Like different quests, different
D20
pictures.
D20 was one.
But no numbers, no letters, no
blood rage.
Yeah, so it was pretty fun, but
it was pretty
Ryan and Katie got it pretty quickly.
Although,
my boardwalk was pretty cool, but...
what was your picture? I didn't see
it. So I did a square.
I thought it was a calendar.
This square.
I can see that.
And then I did a little jail in the right-hand corner.
Yeah.
And then I did circled where boardwalk would go on the Monopoly board.
So you should have just drawn a board and then someone walking.
That's what she did.
I actually drew a physical boardwalk with, like, here are the shops, here's the boards going across on the thing.
They did have the artists on their team, but they did have good guessers, too.
But,
too.
Well, I know.
Let's just say the D20 was Melissa. It looked like a hex from
I was trying to get
Takanoko.
The shape, right?
I was like, is that Takanoko hex? No, it was a D20.
The best one was, though, at the end, because they were so far behind, J.D. was trying to help him out, so he's like, John, go ahead. All right, we're going to begin now. All right.
Robert, no, don't start.
Start drawing. No, wait, we're not starting yet.
So he literally had drawn a bunch of pictures before the other team started.
Really?
Yes.
And we still got it?
It was basically like three circles in a person.
It was like drops of blood. Is that what it was?
It was supposed to be drops of blood, but they were circles. They were not drops of blood.
circles. The hilarious thing was the other drawing was like an arm with a line on it and then like a frowny face. And Katie's immediately like, blood rage.
There was blood coming out of the arm.
There was blood coming out. She drew an arm and then a line on the arm and then drops coming out.
It was obviously blood and then we just had to.
And then a frowny face. An angry face. We were like, blood rage. It makes total sense.
If it wasn't board game related, I wouldn't have done well at all. But
I was like, for sure.
Yeah.
I actually like the Cahoots. I mean, the picture was fun.
Part in the beginning?
With everyone, like, there was like all the people up there. You could see all their names, and they were all trying to guess the questions, trying to get into the first round.
And it helps when JD was like mocking people and giving them a hard time for, you know, you lost the lead, where are you?
I'm actually glad that there was technical difficulties just to see if people heard what the first question was.
Well, I think it did give more people, well, we got pretty much the same number of people. Yeah. Both times, but yeah, it gave time for everybody to get in and understand how it was going to work. And
so one of my favorite things about Tantrum Con was the food truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that food truck was good.
Chuck Truck, we thank them for coming and giving burgers that we paid them, but I mean...
Well, people paid them, yeah.
I paid them. Did you pay them?
Right.
I did,
no,
too.
I actually didn't, but...
Ryan and I both did.
You got free food?
I did.
What?
I owe Ben $7, but...
Oh, that's right.
I was like, did they gave you a hamburger?
I remember this. I was there. Ben paid for Will.
That's right. Since I'm pretending to do the whole 30 thing, I figured I'll let the other guy who did the whole 30.
But Sarah found you out.
Well, she might name barbecue, so I don't feel
like.
No, meat's okay.
I had.
And all the barbecue sauce and sugar. And yeah, let's
I actually had minimal sauce. The barbecue was so good. I only like sampled a bite of each of the sauces, right. Uh-huh. But I ate all of the rest of it without sauce.
We were just wondering why there was credit card charges to Barley's. And
Barley's also has salad and chili. Okay, let's all next topic. So,
so who actually did the breakout little experience?
Yeah, another sponsor.
I didn't get to do that.
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't get to?
No.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I did with Kevin and Sarah.
No. We're gonna pass that by keep going. But that was fun.
Another topic we're discussing.
We may or may not have spent way too long trying to figure out how to get into that box.
The first puzzle
totally took us a while.
It was cool. Breakout is our local board, our escape room place. Yep. They came and set up a small little area, and they had this really cool themed box. Like, the storyline was that you're in your garage is on fire, and you got to get your Ferrari out of there or whatever. So you had to get your keys, but your keys were locked in one of those giant multi-toolbox, you know, multiple locked pieces.
It was like a 3 foot three foot by three foot metal box.
Yeah, so you had to get some keys and unlock some padlocks and crank some stuff. Yeah. And I did it with Mark Kale, who's the guy behind Mega Moose Con.
Yeah.
There came down to support us. We got to hang out. Me, him, and a good friend of his did it, and we may have actually gotten the record time.
That's what I saw.
Yeah, you know what he told us though is he actually didn't time y'all. Yeah. So we're just going off of his.
He didn't
feeling.
Have time. He was like pulling watch out. He was like, "You guys are done? No, I didn't even time you." That's what
happened. Yeah, he just wanted to make you guys feel
it's
good.
It's probably true.
I felt good. No, it was fun. I'm glad he was there. It was he had a nice presence over there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, brought some friends, brought some games.
That's
so
cool.
That was
yeah,
cool.
And there were lots of other designers from the area there. Mm-hmm. We had Richard Lanius come in and spend the afternoon with us. And
Fisher Heaton Games came. David Abelson, thank you for coming.
Yeah, he ran an Intel tournament, or at least a demo or something.
Intel tournament.
I've heard so many people talking about that game. Like, oh, that's so cool. I loved that game. And
he's got a couple other games coming out this spring. Kickstarter. I think one's called Moonshot, which we'll probably get a preview copy of.
Yeah. Did you guys play a demo of it? Or
We played a demo of another game called Healer's Path. We started playing a game like that. And it was a dice... dice worker placement of some sort.
I actually played the moon. I don't think it was called that, but I played that at Mega Moose Con last year. Actually, gave him a bunch of feedback on stuff. And
then we also had Jacob Bunting.
That's right.
Tides of Infamy.
Yes, from Gamewalker.
He's working on an expansion actually too. That I think
another
is
another sponsor because he gave us some games to give away. So the Tides of Infamy box is just so cool.
Yeah,
with the artwork from Corey Godby.
Yeah, he's a local friend of ours, graduated with us, and really talented artist. Yeah. He's done a couple other games too. I think we've got some of those.
Yep.
Good time overall. We had the Steam Court tournament at the end of the day, which was pretty cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And some of our backers were there.
Yeah.
And I think Matt Killingsworth
won. He became the queen.
He backed us at the level where you get your face into the game, and I think he actually won I think it's the Time Traveler. Is that what that one is? Or Alchemist Time Traveler? He was sitting in that seat. Final round, his own guy, made it to the top, won the game. Okay. He was ecstatic.
Oh,
congrats.
Wow.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. That's another cool part of the con was different tournaments that we had. Ticket to Ride tournament, Number 9 tournament, Seven Wonders Duel tournament. Some of the packages are pretty cool. Cold Express tournament.
Oh, yeah.
The playmat. Oh.
Who won the Unlock one?
The last team won.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
The team I supervised.
That's right.
I didn't think they were doing well because I got totally stuck on something that should have been just super easy.
They did,
But then they did this neat thing where they somehow figured out the answer to something without finding the clues for it.
It was really weird.
Kevin came over and was like, how did they get that? The stuff for their clues still right here.
They totally just guessed the right numbers by...
No, but they got the secret, the secret word you're supposed to get from the clue. They figured it out on their own. They figured out the word and then matched it to the numbers and got it on the first try. So they totally bypassed it somehow. I don't know how they did that.
Which unlock was that one?
It was called Betrayal on the Hill. House on the Hill. Sorry, House on the Hill.
No. Which game? I feel like
different game.
It's a legacy game coming out later.
What?
Did you hear about that?
No.
Yes.
Oh my goodness! That's exciting. That's exciting. Oh wow!
One of Katie's best friends.
Yes. There's
like
a legacy game of that coming out. Sometime.
I'm super pumped.
Okay. Cool.
I'm getting that.
So anyway, no, it's House on the House on the Hill.
Yeah. So. And with the tournaments, Boardwalk, the employees from Boardwalk ran a lot of those tournaments.
That was really helpful.
Yeah, they came. They did a lot of giveaways, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. They helped us all this stuff. We could have had, I don't know how many we had, a 40-player Machi Koro tournament. Is that what we had sign-ups for available?
We had that many slots, but we didn't have that many sign-ups for that.
That would be crazy.
We also had that many seats.
What happened with the Ticket to Ride was the popular one. We only had so many. I think there was only 20 seats available, and we had a lot on the waiting list wanting to get in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we packed out. I mean, for being one day, we crammed in a ton of tournaments.
Yeah.
A ton of game demos. Yeah.
And we think there's about 200 people?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we had 200 like registrations, but that was individuals. So a lot of those people had families and spouses and friends that came.
Cool.
And then I should have counted more times. I counted once during the day and there were like 148 or something.
Okay. That was at the beginning.
Yeah, but I didn't go back and count. And we had several people leave and come. And
sure.
So it was packed out the whole time. I was really, really excited by the turnout.
And I also would just like to shout out to the people who stayed and actually helped us clean up.
It was awesome.
I was so surprised. Everybody was like, all right, we got to leave. And they're like, oh, do you need help putting stuff away? I can help like pack up tables and chairs. And I'm like, sure.
Yeah, gamers are the best.
It was great because we're like an hour long project took like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. I was nervous because I really thought if we need to give them enough time that they can finish their games, there's going to be people
two tables.
Only two. Everybody else was
like two tables still finishing their game while everyone else was like packing up, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was super great. We got out there a good time. And then the best part of it was today I got a call from the library to come meet and they were like, when can we do it again? So they were excited. They want us to come back sometime this summer or September,
even though
October.
We were loud.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually brought that up. I was like, were we too loud? Was that a problem? And they were like, no. We'll just get you all three rooms next time.
That's awesome.
Like, Thank you.
That's what we want.
That's what we need.
The goal.
Yeah.
So we'll have to talk about that more soon. But they loved it, and they were excited. They actually, this time we did it as a thing where we reserved it ourselves, and they were like, no, we want to partner with you guys. That'll take care of any of the little expenses. We can advertise it and promote it, so...
Awesome.
That'd be cool. Next time around, we'll be bigger and better.
Oh, yeah. I've had several people the day of and the last few days ask me, like, are you doing this again next year? Is this something that you're going to start doing? We're I think that's the idea.
We'll
annual event.
We had a really cool after party as well. We went over and hung out at Wild Wings Cafe, which is just a couple blocks away from the library.
Yeah.
And that was super cool, getting to hang out with all the volunteers and stuff.
Yeah, a secret room upstairs I never knew about.
You didn't know that? Yeah.
That's a cool place.
Had some fun hanging out with them. Got to talk with some people and talk about plans for next year, too. So we'll see how those work out. But I think there's exciting stuff on the horizon.
Okay.
You're saying that with, like, squinty eyes. Like, you know something you haven't been telling us.
I may know some things that I haven't been telling you. If we had time to actually talk instead of just play games all the time, I could give you guys this information.
Okay.
Wow.
So after this podcast, let's hang around.
I don't know. That's like weighing down on me now.
You won't be able to focus.
I won't be able to concentrate.
Well, so then change topics.
So let's jump into our interview with James Hudson from Druid City Games.
Hey, James!
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good. We should say welcome back to the house since you are a returning guest.
Yeah, that's what times two now. So here we go.
Awesome. So for our listeners, why don't you just give a quick rundown of who you are and about Druid City Games.
So James Hudson, publisher, Druid City Games. We are launching our fourth Kickstarter. So we've got Barnyard Roundup was our first. Grim Forest was number two. Guardian's Call number three. And now Sorcerer City is our fourth game.
Yes, and we know that a lot of people are getting their Grim Forest pledges now, so there's a lot of buzz about the game. So just how did that Kickstarter go for you?
So it's, you know, with everything, there's hurdles. But I think we've executed it quite well, and I think all the backers would agree with us. You know, we've seen tons and tons of really positive people I think are really excited about the actual game and then obviously the components in the game because we had the game trays and the miniatures. I think everybody's really excited about it. And, you know, we've had a couple of bumps here and there with worldwide fulfillment. I didn't, you know, when you make a thing that weighs 7 pounds and is as big as your face and you have to ship 10,000 of them to different places all over the world, there's complications that happen.
Definitely. Wow. But you did a great job, and I've seen great things online, social media. I was over at my local board game store, Boardwalk, today and saw it on the shelf, and we were talking about it. So good stuff. Good
nice.
Stuff, man.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
So we are here talking about another game, though, which is Sorcerer City. I believe you launched or talked about this back in September with us and just like hinted at it. So it's been a few months since then. Tell us about the process since September.
Yeah, it's been kind of a whirlwind. It was one of those games where Scott Caputo is our designer.
Okay.
He did Whistle Stop, which was, you know, top of the geek buzz at Gen Con. People were freaking out for Whistle Stop.
I know,
for good
I
reason.
Like
it's a great game. And Scott's kind of like he's a tile-laying magician designer. That's kind of his little forte of just – he really does well with tiling. And when I played the prototype at Gen Con, I was blown away. And I don't get blown away by a lot of prototypes. So it was when I knew that we wanted to get to Kickstarter and make pretty and make it deluxified in the true Druid City fashion. So I'm really excited because the game, the mechanic of the game, it does something new, which we don't typically see a lot of new mechanics anymore.
Right.
It's like tile laying and deck building combined into one game. So if you take like Carcassonne city building with tiles and you take Dominion deck building and then you sprinkle in a little galaxy trucker with some timed chaos, not crazy, it's not frantic, it's not like, what is it, Space Cadets where you're flinging things and yelling at each other. But strategic planning does come into place and you get to build strategies just like a deck builder, but you're laying tiles. So I was really blown away and it's a great game.
Well, tiling and deck building are two of my favorite game mechanisms, so that really interests me. What advice would you give to our listeners who would aspire to bring a game to Kickstarter since you've been successful with several already?
Oh, wow. It depends on obviously what part of the process they're in. But
you pick the process.
Yeah.
You pick the part.
I think the biggest piece of advice I can – two pieces. One is be consistent. So people will flash up into social media. They'll flash into the forums a month before their Kickstarter. They'll throw a few posts up and say, hey, here I am. I've got the thing coming. And then they disappear again. So our community kind of snuffs that kind of stuff out pretty quickly, right? Like we understand when somebody's being genuine and when they're not. So we don't like to be sold. So there's that. So don't try to sell people and genuinely plug into our community.
Yeah, like be consistent, right?
Yeah, be consistent. And two, you've got to go big. Like today, in today's time, you guys know you made a game on Kickstarter, right? Like to float in the waters with the Seamons and, you know, those kind of people, you can't just have your cousin who can draw up some art.
Yeah.
And you get it done for free,
yeah.
Slap you some art together. Like it has to look on the level of the games that are already out there making big money. And, you know, some people say, well, that's just not fair to the little guy. Well, life's not fair. I mean, not trying to be a jerk about it, but it really is like you either sink or you swim, and it is what it is. So you've got to make it happen.
We had a good time with Steam Court when we did it, but we decided that we are not going to be publishers. We're going to keep with the board game media so side.
I envy you sometimes on that, yeah.
Yes, the fulfillment and everything.
That is, man, hats off to you, man. Like, literally, see my hat's off.
Yeah. It's that I'm the opposite, like, which I love making content. You know, we do some stuff with the spotlight and in the groups. But to be a publisher, you really don't have the time.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about that, since you're one man, but you have been bringing on new people, and I believe some new people are coming soon. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so specifically speaking to the media content, bringing on Derek Funkhauser. He's been in a part-time role for us doing reviews and previewing Kickstarters for the Spotlight, but he will be coming on full-time in May. You know, Derek's one of those kids, you know, he's like 23 or 24. He's a young, spunky, full of energy guy. And
he is full of energy.
Military, you know, so he's hardworking.
Yeah.
And he's got a great positive energy. That's one of the things I look for.
He's passionate too. I see that all over the place.
Yep. And he's genuine. He's genuine. So, we started jobbing about a year ago or 8 months ago, and it was just a perfect fit. So, he was ready to get out of the military and move. So he's moving to Tuscaloosa down here and going to be a part of the team starting in May. Then I also have two employees that are also marketing gurus. So that's kind of the rounded out team.
Cool. I've noticed with this Kickstarter for Sorcerer City, you've tried something a little different with this sort of behind the scenes look at the process. Tell me how's it been going?
It's been great. It's a lot of extra work. You don't really understand, like, I have a lot of ideas. I'm an idea guy, right? Like, I'm Walt Disney over here. I'm throwing stuff at the wall. It's this where I live, 30,000 feet in the sky. And it's tough when you're like, okay, now we've got to execute telling everybody the story of how we got here. Mm-hmm. That sounds really easy, but it's not. There's a lot of work that goes into it. But just because of things like we're talking about now, people want to know more about how to do things. In even a reality TV sort of way, right? Like, entertain me, but also teach me. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of our mindset of, well, how do we show people how we got to where we are? And how do we also teach them that it is doable? And here's some of the things that you've got to think about to get your game or your process or whatever to where you want it to be.
So it's kind of like pulling back the curtain a little bit, yeah. So people can see behind the scenes.
Yeah. So now that we're behind the scenes a little bit more, talk to us about the Kickstarter itself. What are some of your goals and reward levels and things like that for Sorcerer City?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things I think I don't want to say we made a mistake on Grim Forest, but it's kind of like you just watch your ideology kind of shift and morph as you go through this process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I came into it with some real strict framework of, I'm going to have one price, one pledge, no Kickstarter exclusives, you know, and some of those things are right. Some are wrong. So, like, I still have a strong opinion that I don't want to have Kickstarter exclusive content as far as like in the game.
Okay.
If I have multiple editions, I don't want there to be a card in one that's a game mechanic that's not in the other. I got on Blood Rage late. Fenrir cost me $125 at the time on eBay, and that burned me forever. I'm never going to do that to anybody else or put them in that position. Okay. And so like in for this campaign, we listened to what people said they wanted. You know, right? We are putting this product on Kickstarter for the, not for us, it is for us, but it's mostly for the consumer. It's for the backer. Mm-hmm. And they want something special for giving us their money 9 months in advance. And I think they deserve that. So we are doing a standard version and a deluxe version of Sorcerer City. And our deluxe version will have metal coins, 80, and that was designed by David and Lena from Mr. Cuttington. Very so cool. and actually Noah from Game Trays designed the actual files. So it's like taking two of the most talented forces of nature and being like, can you make me something really cool? And so we've also going to have a deluxe box that matches that, and there's actually a 50mm coin that's like a collectible coin that'll be part of it for the deluxe edition. Mm-hmm. And we've got some stretch goals that are specific to the deluxe edition. So, you know, we're hoping to, you know, if you want to come in and get just the economical choice, do the thing.
Cool. So I know this is the beginning of 2018 for Druid City Games. You have Sorcerer City launching. Just tell us briefly what some other things our listeners can look forward to.
Sure. So we have another Grim Forest game that we're hoping to do this summer, and it is a social deduction game in the Grim Forest world, tentatively calling it the Grim Masquerade. We're going to be heading off to the Beast's Castle, and we will all be under masquerades pretending to be other people, and you have to figure out who someone's true identity is. So
will it have actual fairy tale characters in it?
It will, as far as like we've got 8 right now, and it'll have new art from the Cuttingtons with those characters. They'll be based off the Grim Forest, though. I mean, so
that's
it'll
cool.
be
that's
a lot
cool.
of those.
That's cool.
It's a small game, you know, a little $20-$25 type card game situation. But we're really, really excited about the mechanic because it's a lot of it's just fun. Kind of came together out of nowhere. And then we've got Bloodstone.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff on that. Yeah, that's cool.
It's my big one. It's the big one.
Yeah. I keep seeing miniatures here and there, some 3D renderings. They look pretty sweet.
Yeah, I would hope so. Those things are not cheap to have made. You know, it's one of those things where it's my baby. It's my design. It was one of my very first designs. I've been working on it for 3 or 4 years. I'm partnering up with the Eisners to help me finish co-design / develop it all the way out. But it is arena PvP and PvE with custom dice, big miniatures.
You're going all out.
you just check all the boxes, man. And it's got a mechanic. I don't even know where I came up with it, because really I'm a pretty terrible designer. I'm, you know, when I started getting around people like John Gilmore, I'm like, I'm not a designer. That's a designer. It's got a really unique dice mechanic that I haven't seen in a game anywhere else. And it is a lot of fun on top of it being unique. Because, you know, sometimes you make something unique and it's just still bad, right? Just because you – it doesn't mean it's fun.
There's a reason it hasn't been done before.
sometimes. In this game, and I'll just give you the quick overview, you typically have three attack dice that you start your turn with.
Okay.
But everybody has their own custom dice for their that are very asymmetric. Mm. And so if you're playing the mage, you might put dice into my hand that I have to roll on my turn that does damage to me. Or you might be the paladin and you're adding dice to your hand that heals you. It's got all these different asymmetric things going on, and dice just kind of get flown around the whole table. And when you go to scoop up toward the end rounds, you might be rolling like 11 dice, right? You're just like, oh, big pile of dice. Oh, crap. and then there's cool ultimates and things that blow up. So, yeah. And we have one other game that's not announced that's mixed in there. And until the parties that are involved give me the both thumbs up, I can't say anything. It's gonna be unbelievable. So there's that.
Very, very cool. Well, we're excited for you and looking forward to all the cool things you're gonna have for 2018. Before we close out and say goodbye, tell us where we can find you and Druid City Games.
Yeah, and the date of the Kickstarter.
Yeah, so first and foremost, March 6th is Sorcerer City's Kickstarter, and that will be running for 24 days, not like Guardian's Call where we did the 10-day thing. again, you try some things and they work or they don't work.
Yeah.
And typically you can find us on the Board Game Spotlight. We're obviously very active there, but we have all the Twitters and the Instagrams and all the Snapchattles, and just Druid City Games us and you will find us.
Cool. And where can we see you in the future? Like what are some cons that you're going to be at?
Sure. We're going to definitely have a big presence at Dice Tower Con down with Tom and his crew. And then we will also be at Origins, Gen Con, PAX Unplugged, hoping to go to Essen this year.
Oh, man.
Great. Pretty much any of the big ones, we're hoping to be there, yeah.
Very cool. Well, thanks for being on our show, James, and it's always been a pleasure. So we will hopefully catch you at one of these cons. Thanks for being on our show.
Yeah, let's play a game soon.
Sounds good. All right.
Bye!
Bye.
Super cool having James on the show. Always good to hear what he's up to. So let's take a moment before we jump into our Kickstarter conniption, because we need to talk about our Kickstarter.
Woohoo! Kickstarter campaign. It is literally right now, like 25 minutes from
when we... In real time.
But...
In real time.
Like, by the time you hear this, it's been a week. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
You're awesome.
Super awesome.
Thank you, backers.
Very thrilled.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we at 30 minutes in? What are we thinking at?
About 6,600.
Cool. So, like, is it, 200% of our goal?
Oh, yeah. Over 200%.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't math. Very cool. We're going to give away a bunch of cool promo cards. We got to figure out all those. We did hit the stretch goal to where everybody gets two. Yeah. So thank you, backers.
An extra. Because
if they backed for three, they only get two.
That's right.
It was a great Kickstarter goal.
And we had two people decide to game with us at Origins.
What? That's super cool.
What?
Can't wait. Yep.
That'll be fun.
We need to set up something awesome. Like, I don't know what we need to do, but it needs to be like special gifts, awesome times, hang out for dinner. I don't know. Something cool. Yeah.
We can do dinner with them. Sure. Dinner and game. Sure.
It'd be super fun. I'm looking forward to that.
We can make the experience better than what we say on our Kickstarter. Sure.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Over deliver, under promise, or whatever you say.
That's what it is. Yeah. Under promise, over deliver. Yep.
I can't wait. It's going to be great. And what else? Anything cool in there? We had a bunch of bundles that we gave away. I think there was maybe one or two that didn't get purchased, so we might have to do some awesome other giveaways or something cool, because we need to get awesome stuff into people's hands. And yeah, just super thankful. Really, really excited. We did hit the green screen one, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, some of our playthroughs or something.
Yeah, so we'll be doing some cool stuff. And then Studio Awesome. Ta-da!
It's happening!
All right, cool.
Now we just gotta finish our room.
I saw the room.
The pressure's on now. Yeah. Did you? It's a real place?
It's a real place.
It does exist.
It was like one of my nightmares. Like,
Kevin, come into the messiest house you've ever seen. Let me quickly close this door.
Hide all the things. You've been in our living room, right? Where all of our kids' Legos are all over the floor.
Our house. You can at least blame it on your kids.
Yes. Our house is a mess. You're fine.
We're going to jump into another interview with another house guest. We have Vince from Lucky Duck Games. Welcome to the house, Vince.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hello, hello. Well, we are so excited to have you on our show today, and you are from Lucky Duck Games, and tell us a little bit about who you are and Lucky Duck Games.
Well, thanks first of all for having me here in your house today and to talk about board games. Lucky Duck Games is actually actually barely 2 years old, and for the story, for the last 10 years, I've been making video games, social games on Facebook, mobile, and we have been trying to basically to sell stuff like T-shirt mugs to our online players for 10 years. And actually, 2 years and a half ago, we took one of our game, Vikings Gone Wild, and my brother took a stab after many prototype and different games to actually make a board game. Created Vikings Gone Wild, the board game. We presented it to players, and for the first time in 10 years, people actually wanted something. And the game turned out to be really good. We kickstarted it, and given that success, I decided to create Lucky Duck Games with a very specific mission to basically license video games, mobile games, PC games, Facebook games, and try to turn them into amazing tabletop experience. And it's been almost 2 years, and so that's how we are. A little different than the usual, I would say, board game publisher.
Well, this is your first time on our show, and we really appreciate it. But you've actually been a supporter of us, and we appreciate that because I believe you are first supporter of Tantrum House's first podcast back in August 2017. And we really appreciate you sponsoring that first podcast. We've been doing a weekly podcast since then, and it's been great to get more information out to our listeners, and that our listenership's been growing. We appreciate that, and I'm glad that you're finally on the show.
Absolutely. Well, it's been my pleasure. You guys have been supporting us as well with your amazing reviews, and so it's been a great pleasure to be part of this hobby together, basically, and helping each other. So thank you so much.
So I had a question about your game that is currently on Kickstarter, Chronicles of Crime. So is this actually a mobile game that you are bringing to the board game world?
Yeah, actually, it's funny, right? It's I just mentioned the introduction that we're different. We do only mobile game, but this one is not a license. And the reason is it's because we needed an app. And so most of the license we talked to at the time we're extremely against the idea of an app that was nothing, that was more than just a timer or a companion app. So given that, and given how strong the product, we decided to steer away for once out of the usual route that we have to take IPs, and to give this game a chance by creating the IP by yourself. We're actually now talking to other IP. They are not video game IP because it's an app. Using the same name with two different apps in the App Store will be basically some form of competition with those apps. But we're talking to more like maybe TV series, or I won't say more, but basically more series-related or drama-related IPs.
Well, that is really cool, and I think people will be really interested to see known characters in this game. So then how did you actually develop or get the idea for Chronicles of Crime?
So I met David Sicurel, the game designer of this game, in February 2017 in Cannes. And for the story, he was trying to chase me at this first Cannes, telling me that he had a hybrid game. But I myself actually kind of got burned a little bit. I've been pretty lucky, I would say, in business, and I have spare cash that I invest in different businesses. And I actually invested money into a hybrid game company 2 years ago, which unfortunately didn't work out. I lost my money, but I learned a great deal about hybrid games at the time. But so when he comes to me, I'm very much in the defensive. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Let's see. You know, I start playing the game, and within 15 minutes, I'm absolutely in love. I'm like, you absolutely nailed it, David. This is what hybrid should be. I come home that evening and I'm absolutely obsessed with what I just played with. And I very quickly follow up with David. We spent basically 1 year. You know, it was Cannes was February last year, so we spent the year answering a lot of questions. The early prototype that David had was just a deck of cards, a very ugly deck of cards, to be honest, because the game was good by itself. It had very little images, but plenty of things went into the process, and actually the game kind of changed a little bit or on some aspects. He had more of a woo-ease. I don't know if it's the proper translation in English. No, is it this name? Like when you have all those folders and you say, does he have red hair? You know, and then you...
Guess
who. Thank you so much. So it was a bit more of a guess who at the beginning than what it became.
Okay.
Also, the original story he had was more of a Serie B kind of stuff, where basically it was a kind of a local drama, and it felt a little like there was not enough epicness into it. So when we started to really work on the first chapter, which you guys have played, we agreed to try to bring something a bit more, first of all, an arc of a story, something a bit more epic, and out of and not simply like a local theft downstairs of your, you know.
Yeah. I felt like when we were playing that we were really immersed in the game, and the story really captivated us. I really appreciate that in board games. Sometimes it's nice just to play an abstract strategy game, but this is like mixing those two elements of the virtual reality, the technology plus board game. I think it mixes them very well. I think you have a hit. So the Kickstarter is really going very well right now. I believe you have over 3,000 backers at the time of the recording, and this episode should go live in just a couple days, and almost $300,000, 280 something like that, 280,000.
Yes. Yes, we're very grateful.
Yeah, so you're
very grateful.
Yeah, so you've unlocked a lot of stretch goals, including new scenarios. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so the idea of this game is that it's a sandbox. It's a sandbox for authors. The idea is that the game has this replayability element, that the no text is on the card. Actually, no, there are some text on the evidence card, and actually we could talk about the creative process to actually make those evidence card, but I will talk it after. So the idea is that the goal of this Kickstarter for us, especially because we don't have an IP, was basically to try to finance as many cards as we can and as many art as we can, so that they will all be components that author can use to basically take us somewhere else. And I have to say, at this point, David has introduced the system to over 8 authors, and some of the synopses we've seen are all so different. Like it's really great to see that, you know, we've really put this kind of board game console, you know, not a video game console, but a board game console, where basically those people can really express themselves. And wow, this is fantastic! Like we're like, you know, we start, you know, you play for the first time those stories, and they really take you somewhere completely
that's
different
awesome.
With the same material. I actually have I have a small announcement that nobody knows that I can tell you today.
That'd be great. Yes, that would be wonderful.
We actually have signed. I don't want to make his name wrong, but Mark Hannigan.
Okay.
Did I say that correctly? He's basically the author of Vampire, the RPG.
Okay.
And he has agreed to actually write a scenario with us.
Wow.
He's a legend in the RPG world. He's a fantastic writer. So we'll be announcing the we received the synopsis of the scenario. He's gonna write, which sounds really exciting. So this is the kind of guy we're really excited to bring on board. People with tremendous experience in writing. We will take this platform and take us somewhere, you know?
Yeah, that's going to really translate the story, because he's really good at the RPGs. I'm sure that's going to translate well into this kind of a game.
Hopefully. I believe so. And what's exciting is that this kind of writer who is extremely busy writing other stuff got attracted enough to actually talk to us. You know, we are it's really exciting that this kind of legend writer see the potential in this platform and decide to give it a shot and spend some time on this.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we have to say goodbye. Our podcast, we try to keep it a little shorter for our listeners.
Absolutely. No, no worries. Thank you so much. I'm chatty. I'm sorry.
No. I wanted, before we say goodbye, can you tell our listeners where they can find more about you and Lucky Duck Games?
LuckyDuckGames.com, or you can search Lucky Duck Game on Facebook. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and the open web. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Yeah. and for the chat. And
if you haven't checked out Chronicles of Crime on Kickstarter, when do they have to back it? When's the last day?
The last day is the 21st of March.
Okay, so they still have a few weeks left, which is great. And if you haven't done that, you need to go online and go to Kickstarter.com and check out Chronicles of Crime. We enjoyed playing it. We enjoyed doing the review of it. So we're really looking forward to seeing the final product. All right. Thanks for being on the show, Vince. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you guys.
Cool. All right, so I think we're ready for our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
Ryan, why don't you start us off?
Well, first, I want to mention two games that we missed before they went live. Well, rather, by the time this airs, they will both have been live. The first is Chibi Commander. They had sent us a prototype they wanted us to look at, and it's a fun game that kind of resembles the tactical combat from the XCOM video game series, the more recent XCOM, if you've played any video games lately. And I really dig the tactical combat in that game, so you should check it out. The art isn't necessarily something I'm really into, the chibi artwork, but the gameplay is very solid. Also, Castles of Kalira. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay.
It is kind of a precursor little micro game, I think that's what they're calling it, for their bigger game, Cutthroat. And it's set in the same universe as Cutthroat. And there is a comic series they're doing to kind of promote the game. I haven't looked at all the comic, but there's some pretty solid art in this Cutthroat world. I don't know who their artist is, but they're doing really good work. At least as a non-artist, I'm amazed. So you artist types, you might have something else to say. But I was like, oh, this is really cool. At Castles of Kalira, you're building a castle. Either you're placing cards down face up or face down. And whenever a card ends up face up, it activates. So you might place a trebuchet face down, but then have it activate, or have someone else reveal it, and then it'll activate, and it can try to attack somebody else's card, and they have to reveal what that card was. And some cards can't be destroyed. Others are, like, instant win if you destroy, like, the princess's tower and that sort of thing. And the game altogether takes about 15 to 20 minutes, I believe, is what they're projecting. There's not that many cards in it, because they were going for just this micro game. So you should definitely check it out if that interests you. Actually, they have a prototype of the game on Tabletopia that I was able to check out for free. So you can check it out there. There's still some things they need to tweak there. The rule book is on Tabletopia if you're interested. Will, what do you have?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Last week was Batman.
And this week is...
Because this is Will's childhood. Okay.
Childhood, this is my life. So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Munchkin coming to Kickstarter.
Okay.
I have to admit that I'm only half thrilled by this. We'll have to see.
Have you played Munchkin?
I have.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Munchkin fan. But I would, Munchkin. But I would try it if it was.
I think I like it more. I think I like it more than Melissa likes it. Munchkin, the game.
Yeah, I can get a little long and. Yeah.
and end really quickly for the second player who almost won but didn't want immediately on their turn.
Yeah, dogpiling. That's right. So, if you could somehow cut down on that. Maybe it does that.
Maybe.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I literally don't know anything about the mechanics. All I've seen is cool artwork. It's going to be coming out in three different editions, which is pretty cool. They'll have like the retail version, which looks like it comes in a, you know, codename size box. Then they had the Munchkin Teenage Mutant Turtle Deluxe Edition, which is bigger and better, and the cards come with standees, and there's like some scoreboard thingy that's made out of cardboard that you get to keep. And then...
But wait, there's more.
That's right. There's the Munchkin TMNT Ultimate Deluxe Edition.
Ultimate.
Which is even bigger in this picture. I don't know if it's the same size. And it comes... and it comes with retro-style 90s illustration colors. So I want that.
So
one.
I heard about the artwork. This guy was like the original artist or something like that.
Oh, for real? Maybe. I don't know. I didn't read
Kevin Easton. I think it was Kevin Easton or something like that.
Well, really? It looks pretty
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Is he like, I know there's two different versions of the comics.
Yeah.
And like in Japan, they're much bloodier.
Okay.
So is he the Japanese artist or the
sounded like he just said American guy.
Oh, okay. I was just saying.
I think his name was Kevin something.
Because
Kevin
if it was the Japanese artist, that would be amazing. I would totally get that.
The bloody version.
Now, I don't know. That just be so weird. I
look
I'd
like
dig it.
The cartoon version.
Close enough. It is based on the comics. Actually, what's funny is the retail version looks more like the cartoon to me, but the Ultimate Deluxe version also looks pretty hot. I think it's only like $25, so it's definitely worth, if you are a fan of Munchkin at all, or a fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at all, you should go and check it out.
I was telling Will, I feel like they missed an opportunity here with the Retail Deluxe, Ultimate Deluxe.
This is a good
point. Could have done like cheese pizza version, pepperoni pizza version, deep dish pepperoni
version.
Yeah. Supreme.
Like they could have gone.
I think there was a game, a miniatures game, where they did have that pizza version.
They came in a pizza box.
Yeah, I think IDW did something like that.
They already used it. They were like, we have nothing left.
They have to be original. Let's see.
They are IDW. Okay, Sarah, what do you got?
I believe March 1st is Australia.
Australia. March 1st is just a day, but
with a Z.
That is coming to Kickstarter March
1st.
Oh,
on that day.
This is by designer Martin Wallace. So if you're familiar with
March
any...
March 6th.
March 6th, that's okay. Sorry. March 1st was some of the other ones we
talked about.
That was
last week,
beginning.
Sarah.
Yes,
that
was
so
was.
Last week.
Time travel.
All right, this is an adventure exploration game, economic game with some networking in there. For 1 to 4 players, they do have rules, some solo rules. And this one is an alternate reality, and you are exploring Australia, but Cthulhu is hiding out in the outback.
Oh, wow.
I knew it.
That's weird.
So, if this sounds like something that's interested you, you can take a look at some of their stuff, the gameplay. They have some videos up and some really cool looking artwork.
Yeah, Cthulhu looks way more majestic in Australia than he does in like DC. Or
is it
wherever.
Spelled just like the normal continent, or is it like Australia?
It's
like
a Z.
It's like Australia.
A-U-Z.
A-U-Z.
And it's designed by Martin Wallace.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she mentioned that.
And cool. Set in the study in Emerald.
I think it's based off of that or something.
It's based off of that same world with the Cthulhu theme.
All right, Kevin, what do you have?
I have a game coming from Tabula Games. It is called Mysthia. It's coming on Kickstarter March 7th. This is for 2 to 4 players. It plays in an hour and a half to 2 hours. In Mysthia, become a champion of Ilvash, hired by the Kingdom's Guilds to explore and gain control of uncharted islands. Floating around the gravitational force of the enormous crystals embedded in the planet, on these unknown islands face unimaginable beasts. Choose your path and find a way to survive the mysteries and perils of Icheon. Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it?
Only when you read it in that voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a area control and hand management Euro game, so it works that way, too.
Area control and hand management.
And it has minis.
And it has really cool miniatures. I know you can't see them, but look at that.
Oh. Those are legit minis.
I can already picture you painting them.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Anyway.
What color would that one be?
I don't know. Probably a teal blue or something.
Ooh, Sarah would like
it. Doesn't matter when you're colorblind. They all look cool.
Oh, okay. So you can get a copy of Mysthia for... The grays look so well.
They do.
The gradients.
They do.
The gradients. You can get a copy of Mysthia. This is a Kickstarter exclusive game.
Oh.
For 85 euros, which is a little over $100. US.
So. I think I forgot to mention that on mine.
Oh, well,
the Ultimate Deluxe Edition is only Kickstarter available.
Okay.
If you want the super cool artwork.
Okay. What about, like, Game Steward? Could you get it through the Game Steward?
Maybe.
You should definitely check there.
Game Steward, one of our sponsors, yes.
.com, probably.
All right, Melissa, over to you.
I'm looking at Immortal 8. It is published by Sorry We Are French.
Oh my.
And
are their designer names hard to pronounce?
Moonster Games. I didn't even write them down.
That's how hard.
So Immortal 8. 8 is actually a big number with this game. I don't know why.
When are they launching?
But it plays 3 to 8 players, and they say it takes about 8 minutes per player.
Oh, okay.
And it's launching on March 8th, 2018, and they're doing it at 8 p.m. Like French time zone.
For 8 days.
8 days?
That'd be awesome. It's like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Running through August, so it's all 8.
So they have a lot
They're
of
only allowed
eights.
To have 8 backers.
But this is a card game with drafting. Each player gets a secret immortal card, and that card is going to determine how they score endgame victory points. And that's secret, so other players don't know which immortal you have. And you're going to play over 2 rounds. Each round has 3 phases. You have drafting, where you have to play a certain number of the cards face up and a certain number face down. Hmm. And then comes the kingdom phase, where you actually activate those cards. And you can pay coins to activate cards that other people have put down. So you may be putting down cards that help other people if you're not careful. And then there's a phase where you get tokens worth points for having the most military or the most science. So it seems like there's going to be some interesting choices with which cards you play, which ones you turn face down. So if you played something like Seven Wonders, you know that they're the cards that you bury because you don't want other people to get them. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, this sounds similar to Seven Wonders.
But you don't know what cards other people want, especially during the first round, because they haven't played a lot. So I think that'll be interesting. The art is really cool in it.
Like,
it
really looks cool.
Really professional. The box lid is really cool. So you want to check that out. On the Immortal 8 website, they actually have a lot of publisher diaries covering all the aspects of the game, so you can get a lot of information on it. And that is Immortal 8, launching on March 8th. Katie, you have something.
Yes, I'm talking about Wreck and Ruin. Yeah, we actually got to play this. We have we had a prototype version. Larry, our intern, tried to learn it and then figured out he needed other people to try to play it with him so he could even figure out how to play. So this is a pretty hefty game as far as rules go. But it's a Mad Max themed checkpoint control style game, and it's you're in the desert. You've got this fleet of vehicles. They all have different stats. They can go some go faster than others, so they can move more spaces. Some are there's a big tank and it's armored so it can take a ton of damage, and it's just, there's some really neat minis that go along with this. And my absolute most favorite part was that you keep track of damage on each vehicle with these little flames that the truck, so they're sticking out so it looks like it's on fire when it's finally done in. I like that. I thought that was really
cool. Yeah, the minis were really slick. They definitely had that whole Mad Max evocation of desert, wasteland.
Junk.
Yeah, it was
post-apocalyptic. Right, yeah. So you're playing different factions, so there's some asymmetrical abilities there.
Cool.
And you are trying to salvage wrecks in the desert. And so you have to control a salvage for an entire round before you can actually get the points for that wreck.
Yeah, and Katie said the rules are hefty, but if you are into this sort of tactical, hex-based combat, for example, I used to be really into MechWarrior Dark Age. this doesn't hold a candle to the ridiculousness of MechWarrior Dark Ages rules. The rules are actually very much more obtainable.
Yes, that's true. So, and once you've figured it out, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, once you've taken your first turn, you're like, oh, okay, I got this.
Yeah, I think there were, the rule book looked hefty because I know Larry brought it in. And it was like a 30-page printout, but it was because it was on printer paper and still prototype. So
yeah.
And Ryan and Kitty did a review of this on our video, on our YouTube channel.
We did. So check out our review.
If you want to look at it, too.
Mm-hmm. Sarah has some more to say. What have you got?
Yes. One coming to Kickstarter on March 5th is Werewords, the Deluxe Edition.
Ooh. The Deluxe. Mm. The Deep Dish.
We like, let's play it right now.
We should. I have to say, for party games,
don't think we,
we don't have Deluxe.
We have Werewords.
No, we have the original Werewords.
We are the Deluxe version. Deluxe.
Yes. We probably play Werewords more than any other party game in the last 2 or 3
months. That's probably
months.
True. Yeah, recently. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it's great because it matches up that 20 questions.
You're
with
playing
the werewolf.
Games without me?
Shh, don't tell Ryan.
Yeah, and we probably mentioned it, but we introduced family members at Christmas time to Werewords, and they had a great time with it.
I had a blast with it.
Yeah, this is one that we play with the youth group regularly, that we play with family whenever we're, you know, there's downtime.
So what's
and we're not just
new
saying
in the
this
deluxe edition?
Oh, yeah.
Are they our sponsors?
Yeah, we're not just saying it because they're our sponsors.
See, it's helpful that I don't even know who our sponsors are. So.
And you didn't even know that this was a Bezier game.
This is a Bezier game.
That's hard.
What?
And Katie does have a good question. What are some of the things that are updating in this?
So they're updating their app. They're making it a little bit better experience. There's a new narrator.
Yeah, I heard about that
and,
guy.
And
like a new voice or what's the...
Yeah.
Okay.
This would be funnier or something?
I think they said
funnier.
It even... Oh, what's the word they use? I don't think it was sassy, but...
It has a new attitude.
Salty.
Oh, a new attitude.
New attitude. Yes. And then there will be... deluxe components, and they will have additional characters so you can play with more people. And then they also have a two-player version.
That sounds really interesting to me because this is not a two-player game in my estimation.
Is it just 20 questions?
Are you the werewolf?
You figured it out again!
No! Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure
cool
they've worked
it
out,
is.
Though. For it to work.
Maybe they stripped out the werewolf part and it's just 20 questions.
Yeah. It's just 20 questions in a deluxe box. When does that one come out?
March 5th.
March 5th.
I want to definitely check that one out. Do you know what the? Do you have any idea what the stretch, like the
well,
base
if you
goals
have,
are?
Well, if you have werewords, you can get some of the deluxe components for cheaper than buying everything.
Oh, you don't have to buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they have an upgrade kit.
They have an upgrade
kit. That's clever.
Yeah, I do like that.
Get our hands on
Does
that
the upgrade kit come with like a bigger box?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Because that's what I'd like to see. I'm kind of torn between the different games that I can either buy an expansion and have these two games cobbled together, but they don't quite fit all in the same box, or I can buy the big box version. But I already have the original game, so do I just wait until a big box version comes out? Like Kingsburg with the second edition, you get everything. You get the expansion in the second edition.
Or you can just get Scythe and just buy the legendary box and everything just goes in
Put
the legendary.
Everything, All of your other games included. The struggle is real.
I agree.
It is real.
It is.
It's real. All right, so I have this random idea.
No.
We don't have to use or not. Ben, you can cut this out.
This is just
to
let you know that Will always comes up with a random idea.
Sometimes fun things pop into my head in the middle of a show, and I think, you know, why not? So here's what I was thinking. We got, you know, a couple seconds left. I thought it might be cool to try to design a game.
What?
What?
In the next 3 minutes.
All right,
what?
Do we have a theme?
Oh, my goodness.
That's exactly what we need. So I think we should split into two teams and talk to the microphone at the same time. Our side thinks of a theme totally unrelated to your side, thinking of a mechanic, and then we figure out how to mesh them together.
Oh.
I don't think that'll work.
We're going to find out.
I think there needs to be like a handoff.
Nope, terrible idea. All right, here we go. In three,
are y'all,
two,
y'all
you're on that
three?
Team.
I'm on this
Sorry,
team.
That's how the table splits. That's how it goes.
Ryan and
I'm on this side.
So, what IP can we go with?
Wait a minute.
Does it have to be an IP?
I think it would be more interesting if it is.
It's not just like Pickle Farmer.
That could be an IP.
I think that's a thing. I think that's an actual game. Like out there.
Well, if it's already taken, that doesn't do any good.
I'm sorry. I just, it was the first thing that popped in my head.
Let's see. I think I was thinking something relevant and current like...
Okay, we're
got it. We got our mechanic.
Panthers. What else you got? Panther Pickle Farmers.
What?
That's all we came up with so far. What mechanic does Panther Pickle Farmers go with?
So we think that one of the mechanics that aren't used a lot yet are dice crafting.
Dice crafting, okay. Like, so you're applying the pips to the faces?
Yes, you're applying the pips to the faces.
All right, so I have a friend named Pip, so anytime people say Pip, it's really confusing.
Especially Pip's faces.
Okay.
Yeah, Pip's faces.
So panther pickle farmers.
So what's
panthers are actually the farmers?
I think maybe it's a pickle farm being attacked by panthers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then each time you get attacked, one of the faces of your die gets ripped off.
Or maybe they certain things make you put panther faces on your die.
Oh, which are not any good when you roll those.
Right, you don't want to get that.
Okay. Your dice get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to play this game.
You get better.
What if you already have really bad luck with even regular dice?
Yeah, so this just the peas there reminded me of a strong bad. I think it's strong bad. He does a Pistols for Pandas advertisement.
Yeah.
I
totally
like remember the that. The WWF... or whatever, World Wildlife Federation. Pistols for pandas. So what if there were pandas with pistols fighting panthers to protect their pickles?
Well, yes. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
So whatever publisher wants to pick this up, we'll have it for sale. You'd be ready to license it with us.
Your dice
when are
the
you guys
pistols,
going to Boston tips, Con? Yeah. What is that?
We're going to Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Unpub 8, end of March, March 22nd through the 25th, I believe.
Okay, so if you guys want to have a prototype ready, I think
we'll talk more of that as we get closer.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. I hope you had a blast. We had a great, crazy, fun time. And we will see y'all next time.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!